Andrew Carnegie built his famous music hall in New York City more than 100 years ago. Above it, he erected more than 170 tower apartments. He said they should be used as studios where artists of all kinds could live cheaply and devote themselves to their work. Choreographer George Balanchine, actor Marlon Brando, and many other artists, both famous and little known, have lived or worked here. They include 84-year-old Donald Shirley, a concert pianist who has been here 50 years and who's played in the hall below his studio.
There's just no place else that I could practice the way I could practice here.
Over the last 16 years, however, the Carnegie Hall Corporation has reduced the number of artists living here to about 40, converting the empty studios to offices or leaving them vacant. Now the remaining tenants are being asked to leave to make room for a music school.
It's a terrible thing, because my whole life, my adult life has been spent right here. But I'll stick it out and see what happens.
The tenants are fighting back in court. They say that Andrew Carnegie intended for individual artists to use the studios. Whatever the outcome, they say they are lucky to have had their huge spaces for as long as they have. Many New York artists can no longer afford even small apartments in Manhattan and have left for neighborhoods far from the city center.
Artists like to gather in communities, and they like big cities, not because the rent is cheap, because it's not cheap, but because the diversity of experience and the diversity of mankind is so great here, and the stimulus is hard to beat.
Randall Borscheid is president of the Alliance for the Arts. It publishes an annual report on the contribution of arts and culture to the city's economy. He says the arts account for about $21 billion annually in New York, but that artists themselves often barely scrape by.
People who are highly talented, esteemed members of their profession, dancers, singers, actors, and so forth, musicians, who live near the poverty level.
They really are finding it difficult. And the thing is that artists know they have to be here, so they still come here because they kind of have to make it.
Elizabeth Currid is author of The Warhol Economy, about how the clustering of artists helps both art and business to thrive.
That socializing also translates into real economic output. In their social and artistic communities is often where they do business, where they collaborate with one another, where they interact with the gatekeepers who make decisions about what good art or good fashion is.
She says the city will lose out if high rents drive even more artists from the city center.
And that density and dynamism that occurs when you have all these artists living, working in the same place ceases to exist because they're pushed out.
Currid says the city could take steps to keep neighborhoods affordable for artists by capping rents, for example. She says that is in the city's interest because the arts help drive the economy.
They're actually the fourth largest employer and are almost neck and neck with finance in terms of employment numbers. So that's pretty important for New York's economy.
At the same time, Donald Shirley notes, art's greatest value to New York cannot be summed up in dollars.
Everything else is, we have messed up everything. The only thing that's left that is pure is art. What would we do? What could the human being do? What can life be without art?
Carolyn Weaver, VOA News, New York.